You know, sometimes you just, you get fortunate. Sometimes you want to make a bet. And you're like, I don't know. We missed the best number. I don't want to, you know. It's all about closing line value. Ah. So I stayed off the Blazers. Didn't want to play them. Jeff said, hey, it might be a good spot to get in game. The Jazz have outscored, it's past tense now, the quarter is over, outscored the Portland Trail Blazers 40-19 in the third quarter, and they now lead 94-80 over the Blazers.
Oh, the Avalanche that is always capable with Utah and coupled with bad defense from Portland, we got the Avalanche. And again, Donovan Mitchell, as we mentioned before, continues to just destroy everything in his path. Another huge game for him tonight. And even though I just said on the Jazz broadcast that we have in the studio here, it does say Portland is leading the NBA in 10-point deficit comebacks this year, and they do have it down to 12 with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, to your point, Donovan Mitchell, 33 points. So over his player prop for the evening at 29.5. It's not too often that you go into a game, especially in the prop market, where Damian Lillard isn't the highest player out there. Now, CJ McCollum being back takes away some of the points from Damian Lillard. But yeah, coming into this one, it was Donovan Mitchell, 29.5, and he's got 33. To your point, you nailed this one. You said over Rudy Gobert rebounds, 12.5. He's got 18.
Yeah, nice little rocking chair on the prop there.
Easy, easy victory. Damian Lillard, 23 points. So I would say for Dame, you're in decent shape. He's going to start bombing some threes here in this fourth quarter. But a 17-point lead for the Utah Jazz coming off that loss last night in overtime to Phoenix and taking it out on the Portland Trail Blazers, especially in that third quarter. The Blazers did lead at half, 56-53, now trail by 17. The Clippers, we just saw Kawhi Leonard posterize DeAndre Ayton in that third quarter. And the Clippers now have a 4-point lead over the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix had a 2-point lead at the half. The second half number was Clippers -5. So we're hovering right around that number as it looks like Devin Booker's going to head to the free throw line here for a couple of free throws. But 83-80 and should have a fun end to this one.
Good on Phoenix. Good on Phoenix to after that, again, emotional victory against the NBA's best team in Utah, to come back against another elite team like the Clippers and hang in this game, lead at halftime. And they are doing it with their shooting percentage, which has dipped, but they're still shooting 56%, Tim.
Looking at the Clippers box score, you might get over on both Kawhi and Paul George. Paul George is over. Yes. He has hit the over. He had 18 in the first quarter. He is now 23 points tonight. And Kawhi Leonard's had a big third quarter here. He is up to 22 points on the evening. His over-under was sitting at 25.5. And Devin Booker and Chris Paul, pretty quiet night so far offensively. Devin Booker, 19 points as we head to the fourth quarter. Still certainly a chance, Jeff, to get to his prop of 26.5. And then Chris Paul, 9 points. And he was... he was so terrific last night in that win, the mid-range game for CP3 there. He had 29 in the victory last night against the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, the only one of Paul's props that looks okay right now is the rebounds. Was 4.5. He's at 4. Should be able to get 1 in the fourth quarter. But both the points and the assists. I mean,
only three assists.
So yeah. Chris Paul has not played great tonight, and Phoenix is only down 2 to the Clippers. Again, Phoenix has showed a lot to us these last few nights, and in all honesty, Tim, they have been showing it to us this whole season. They are really darn good.
Yeah, three games clear of the Clippers for the 3 spot. So an important game in the standings too. If they are able to pull this one off on the road in Los Angeles, would make it 4 games clear, which is, I wouldn't say insurmountable. I'm not going to put that out there, but it's starting to get challenging if they can win this game.
It puts them in a really good spot to get that second seed, and hopefully the Lakers aren't in the play-in game.
More NBA talk coming up in just a moment with JVT. We keep it rolling. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. hour number three. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray, and a gentleman who was sitting in Jeff's seat the past three nights joins us right now. I needed more JVT in my life. Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst. JVT, what's up, brother? Long time no talk.
Yeah, no, huh? Good day of sports, though, right? First round of the Masters, a lot of baseball. Obviously, these NBA games, one of the better schedules we've seen in a while. It's been a very good game, Tim, or a very good day, Tim, I should say.
You know what I like, Jeff, is that JVT, you could tell his young son and wife are out of town because we got a new location. He's sitting in your living room?
Yeah, I am in my living room, actually, so I can have the TVs, you know, behind the camera so I can actually watch while I do these. And, you know, it gets kind of lonely in the bedroom, you know. I miss the caress of my wife, you know.
Hideki Matsuyama, your guy. You got to be happy where you're sitting right now.
Yeah, Mats played really well. Obviously, you know, was the leader for a little bit before Justin Rose went insane. And I also have Patrick Reed, so I feel relatively good at this point, you know, at the first round. But nobody ever wins a tournament day one. You can certainly lose it, so a lot of time to go. But you have worse positions to be in at this point.
They didn't lose it for you.
Correct. And, you know, I still have my Reed matchup with Jordan Spieth that is alive, too. So a very solid first day at the Masters for your boy.
JVT, just shifting over to your wheelhouse, the NBA. Utah totally just destroying Portland in the second half, up 23 now. Ooh. With 7 minutes to go. Another huge night for Donovan Mitchell. JVT, why is Donovan Mitchell MIA in the MVP race right now?
I think it's because they're such a balanced team, right, Jeff? I mean, you look on any given night, you know, it could be Donovan Mitchell. It could also be Mike Conley. It could be Rudy Gobert. I think they're such a, I guess you'd call them like a system, right, that I think any one player getting a lot of help or a lot of, I should say, narrative behind them in terms of the MVP, I think it's a little tough. Now, he should probably, like, I guess he could be in consideration, but really when you evaluate them too, right? Rudy Gobert is the linchpin to their defense. You look at their overall shooting. They have four guys on the team that are catch and shoot 3-point shooters that are over 40%. So they're just so balanced. I don't think he'll ever get enough respect, you know?
JVT, I got to imagine because I would say at least in one of your hits, if not two, every day on this network, people will ask you about the MVP market, and it's always changing. But did you get a kick today out of some of the talking heads out there after the game? We were sitting here last night watching the discussion of CP3 for MVP.
Yeah, that's not happening. Like, you know,
of course, it's not.
Well, because, and here's the thing, Tim, and, you know, I have not checked the numbers for a couple of days, so I will run them right now as we speak. But Chris Paul, if we're talking about just statistically, right, the more important player is actually Devin Booker. When Devin Booker's on the floor and Chris Paul's off, vice versa, the higher net rating is with Phoenix with Devin Booker on and Chris Paul off than the other way around. Now, both are overwhelmingly positive and both are very, very good. But, like, there's a very strong statistical argument that he's not even the most valuable player on his team. Now, you can't really articulate what it means to have a leader of Chris Paul's, you know, stature, what he does off the court in terms of teaching them and how much they've improved because of his mentorship. But in terms of statistically, which is where this MVP race is usually decided, like right now, Devin Booker's actually the better player for Phoenix.
Yeah, and JVT, obviously, you've been heavy on the James Harden love in this market, and obviously that injury kind of throws a little bit of a wrench into everything, but is there anything right now that you would take a crack at still in that market?
Not really. I mean, I guess if we want to make the argument, and it's not really an argument, like I would expect Nikola Jokic, Jeff, is going to be over $2 very soon, right? It's coming, and it should be coming quicker rather, or, you know, sooner rather than later. You know, you just get a sense of the NBA media at this point. I brought this up on an earlier hit today where, you know, I like a lot of the NBA podcasts that are out there. Today, Zach Lowe had a new podcast. One of the topics was MVP. Zach Lowe and Doris Burke are two MVP voters who were discussing the fact that Nikola Jokic right now is at the top of their list, and it seems very comfortably by just listening to the conversation. So again, it's just two MVP voters. It's two MVP voters, so you have an idea of potentially what's going to happen there. So I guess if you want to say there is value, there I would say maybe there's value in laying a $1.34, but I'm like, not really. Then there's only value just because I know it's going to get to $2, you know?
And any other, and we'll get into, you know, team specific too, but we didn't, when you were hanging out here the past couple of nights, we didn't talk about really any other awards. I know you've talked a bit about, you've got a great position right now on Most Improved with Julius Randle, who's now the odds-on favorite and has been for quite some time. The Rookie of the Year, I feel like no one could get it because the usage numbers are out of control and any If you look analytically, Anthony Edwards is not having a really strong season. So when you look at the other awards and the odds right now, anything jumping out at you that should be worth maybe a look at?
I would say this. You know, this was pointed out to me the other day on Twitter. If you go over to PointsBet, I think it is, you can look at their Sixth Man of the Year award, and they have right now Jordan Clarkson at -333. This was as of yesterday, so we'll double check this. But -333 is insanely low. You know, if you look at the market overall, the average price on Jordan Clarkson to win that award is in the range of like -1400. So if that's actually the case, and if that's available to anybody, you know, that would be, I think, a very, very plus EV type of play, because he is going to win this award, Jordan Clarkson. And just looking at the market overall, to lay around $3 when everybody else is well over -1000 is a really, really good price. So I would say if that's still available in your jurisdiction, that's something I would go out and hunt immediately. The other ones, Tim, you know, I wrote about this in Points Spread Weekly this week. If you can still get Zion Williamson at about 80-1 to win most improved, I think he's got a really intriguing resume that could definitely be put up there. Shooting percentage well up, now over 60%. His assists per game are up. He's been hurt a little bit recently, but I don't know how much that really factors into a most improved type race. That would be the other one that kind of comes to mind. But again, I'd wanted it like that 81 range, which was last available at BetMGM.
By the way, JVT, the market has moved on Clarkson up to -690 on PointsBet.
On PointsBet, okay. Yeah.
So, people hopped in on that at that yep. really low number on Jordan Clarkson to be the sixth man of the year. Obviously, now a little bit more than a month to go in the season, JVT, we're getting to that full blown Tankapalooza time, as we've seen. Yep. We've talked about Oklahoma City before.
Oh yeah,
Tim and I. But JVT, if you're making a to fade list, and obviously numbers will play roles here, but give me like your top three teams that, all right, unless if it's just so out of control in the number, I'm fading them every night.
Yeah, well, obviously Oklahoma City kind of goes up there. You know, today was kind of the test, right? Cleveland, a team that was, 1-4 in their last five straight up and against the number, had one of the worst net ratings in the league over that stretch. How they were going to handle Cleveland, and sure enough, they get blown out. So you definitely have to put Oklahoma City on that list. San Antonio, Jeff, I think, is on that list too. San Antonio's been a team I've been playing against quite a bit lately. This is a team that, kind of like Memphis, you know, the second half of their schedule was really compact. You were talking about over 40 games, over 10 back-to-backs in the span of like 64 days. That's really tough, and you're starting to see that come down now for San Antonio, who I think is now 2-7 straight up and against spread in their last nine, somewhere in that range. That would be number two. And I think that's really, I'd probably cut the list there, because I think those are the two that are really kind of going downhill at this point. That Toronto is a candidate, but they've been more banged up than anything else, and I don't think that's really like a tank type deal, you know?
Let's get an update, JVT, on where we stand with OKC. We talked about it the past couple days. We even had someone tweet in, I think it was the Mitch Moss account, about holding the over on Oklahoma City. Where do we stand on the OKC win total, and how nervous should the over owners be right now?
So as of tonight, after the loss, let's see, you have to get three, and we know that we only need three wins for the over, 18 losses to the under. Now, again, it's really big cushion, 18 losses yep. to three wins, but this team, man, like you said, today was a really big test about how bad this team really was. If Cleveland was going to come in and handle you, that was going to be, I think, eye-opening. At least to me, it was. And today was eye-opening. I took a little beast right before close of the money line. Cause I thought, all right, this is getting a little ridiculous. Up to 4.5 at Circa. +157 was the money line price I got. And they were hanging around for a little bit, but they just don't have the talent and eventually fell away. So this is going to be a sweat, man. They got one of the harder schedules in the league going forward. I think they're a top 10 team in terms of strength of schedule. This is a sweat that should not have been. And I feel really bad for people who have a ticket on the over.
I want to go over the last five games just to emphasize how brutal this has been. Okay, so at the Suns, lost by 37. That's the Suns.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. At the Blazers, 133-85. Home to the Pistons, 132-108. Then they got the Hornets without Gordon Hayward, without LaMelo Ball, and they lost and Malik Monk. 113-102, and then tonight lost by 27 to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Those last three games, Pistons, shorthanded Hornets, and the Cavaliers, all at OKC.
I don't know, 85 points against Portland might be the most impressive feat in there. It might be, but that's...
What's that, a 48-point loss to the Blazers?
It's bad. Ooh. Really bad.
Didn't think you'd have to sweat that one. That is now that you brought that up, JVT, every night I'm gonna have to keep an eye on Oklahoma City and the fact that they lost by 27 tonight to the Cavaliers. That,
hey, you could have a win total watch. You know, I think we've had, this is now 3 years in a row, we could have a win total watch. 3 years ago, I had a bet with Matt Eumanns on a Chicago Bulls win total. That eventually got there. Eumanns and I actively tracked the Warriors win total last year. That was a breeze. And then, of course, this year we need one. So let's do it. All right. Every all right. time I'm on, let's update the OKC Thunder.
Win total watch with JVT every time moving forward. I'm in.
All right. Well, we get to keep track of Theo Maledon then, which is a good time for all.
Got
of us.
All that drip.
All that drip for sure. I want to flip over to the East, JVT, because Milwaukee playing without Giannis again tonight, losing to Dallas, just a disastrous fourth quarter for the second consecutive night without Giannis for them. But as a whole, JVT, can anyone realistically beat Brooklyn in a 7-game series at this point?
Yeah, I think so, right? They're a very good team. They're at the top of my power ratings, but they have their flaws. For example, we could foresee a series where Philadelphia really slows them down, plays very, very good defense, which we've seen, by the way, right? And Joel Embiid destroys them inside. You know, Milwaukee, for example, I think Milwaukee matches up with certain teams pretty well. A perimeter-oriented type team, they can switch and feel comfortable 1 through 3, at least their big three on Brooklyn. And they have enough ancillary pieces around to kind of at least get in the face of shooters like Joe Harris or take care of pesky Bruce Brown. So I could foresee them. Now, I think the more probable outcome is Brooklyn, of course, winning the Eastern Conference and winning the NBA Finals. But I wouldn't say, like, I'm circling them with pen and this is in. I think they're the best team. I think it's relatively a decent-sized gap between them, but I could make the case for some of the other teams, mainly just Philly and Milwaukee.
Now, have we gotten to the point, JVT, where are we on Brooklyn's defense? And at the rate that they play offensively, especially assuming health for James Harden when he comes back, does it just not matter? Are they just that prolific offensively? Why you have them atop your power ratings and why you believe at this point in time they are the team to beat in the NBA?
Yeah, look, yeah, I think it's pretty clear. Then they're right now, according to Cleaning the Glass, it sorts out all the garbage time numbers. 119.4 points every 100 possessions would be a historic offensive rating. We actually have a lot of seasonal historic offensive ratings this year. But still the sixth best net rating, despite ranking 25th right now in defensive efficiency. Their offense is at another level. But I would also say, Tim, this is not going to be a best defensive team ever type of team. We know that.
Right.
But when we put them all together and Kevin Durant's back on the floor and fully healthy, relatively underrated defender, we have a guy like Joe Harris, who I think is a very underrated defender himself. There's little pieces here and there. They're not like this abhorrent team that we keep talking about. They're like a 16th, 17th type team in terms of defensive efficiency when they're all together. And that's going to be enough for them moving forward, I think.
JVT, just moving back to the West real quick, because the potential first round matchups as of right now out West, right now, 4 versus 5 would be Denver versus the Lakers right now. But just looking at the teams that are all competitive out West, what's the one first round matchup that you would want to see today?
The one I would want to see today, I think I'd be really intrigued by a Phoenix and Dallas type series, right? That would be your 2-7, I think, as we're sitting right now. Mainly because, one, Dallas is playing extremely well, but these are just two really fun teams, right? You have Chris Paul offensively and what he can do and how he leads an offense. They're slow it down, what they do defensively against Luka Doncic. Watching Doncic against his perimeter defense, which is relatively solid but has its weaknesses, especially I think it's above-the-break three-point shots that kind of bother Phoenix a little bit, and they love to take Dallas those types of shots. So I think that'd be the funnest series, like the one I would really look forward to the most.
And JVT, you called it, man. Buy low. On the total tonight, Lakers over, and they got the cover against the Heat.
Yeah, that was the whole, we always talk about that, right? You always track these totals. Again, the Lakers totals, for those who didn't know, 1-10 last 11, 1-9. I always do that, 9-1, I guess. 9 out of 10 had gone under the total since LeBron had gone. And the totals kept getting lower and lower and lower. Today, 204.5, almost the lowest total. Remember the 195 Cavs and Knicks at the beginning of the year. So it goes over, just barely, though. So this is a low scoring team, yeah.
It got there. I'm liking the setup. Enjoy the time at the crib, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is, JVT, at me, JVT, on Twitter. And the Clippers trying to separate themselves here from the Phoenix Suns. 93-85 now, Jeff.
Yeah, it's starting to look like Phoenix is starting to run out of gas. And in shocking fashion, Pat Bev and Jay Crowder need to be separated. What a shock there.
And it looks like Damian Lillard was just called for a technical not that long ago. So tempers getting the best of them there in Portland. You know, Portland, a team... I'm just a fan of Portland in the sense of, you know, McCollum comes from Lehigh, Lillard, Weber State. Lillard has been so clutch over these years, and but man, they just play no defense.
After tonight, after this beatdown, they're taking that point differential that has been teetering between positive, very slight positive and negative, going back to negative point differential for the season at 30-21.
Yeah, for the Lakers, they're enjoying these losses because that allows them to stay in that five spot. I thought it was a foregone conclusion. Portland would jump them. May not be. Well, we'll see. Still plenty of time to go, and as we've documented, a challenging road ahead for the Lakers on this East Coast trip. You got your treats and beats. I have a feeling we're going to head back to Citi Field for this one on the nightcap here on Visa. Suns game is very interesting, Jeff, here in the last couple of moments. The Clippers were up 93-83. It's not a six-point game, but we've had an ejection here in the last moment.
Yeah, Pat Bev flagrant two for what's even the proper terminology?
It was like a hip check.
It was like a hip check, a hip check and a clip in the same play.
And then he did Chris the old, Paul. Yeah, that was me. Yeah. Foul on me.
Get out of here. It may have been a little bit of a reputation flagrant, too, but that was just completely unnecessary from Pat Bev. But the Clippers back up by 8, 5.5 minutes to go, and Phoenix just turning the ball over.
So 97-89, pre-flop in this game. It was Clippers minus 6. Remember, Clippers trailed by 3 at the break, were laying 5 in the second half, so 2 for the game. So if you went in-game on the Clippers, in decent shape right now, but once again, Pat Beverly has been ejected. Utah is wrapping things up here, 122-103. The under is going to hit in this one as the total went off 233. I can't remember what the second half under. Actually, I'll look that up real quick. It was second half under was 114.
Pretty sure it went over by a point.
Okay. So, you know what? The transition is into treats and beats, because if that is the case, as I'll get the answer here in just a moment. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we are just hitting the over on the second half. You said you would have leaned that way, didn't make that bet.
Correct.
So that's a treat in my opinion, because, hey, you didn't make that play. I also said before the show, I was like, kind of like the Blazers, but then, you know, it was 7, then went down to 5.5. Nah, I'm just going to pass. They lost by 19. So, you know what? I'm happy. Did not lose that bet. Did not have to crumple up a ticket and throw it at the camera like I had to do a bunch of times during the NCAA tournament. But the ultimate beat, but also treat, because remember, you know, Van Pelt, and he does such an unbelievable job with the bad beats. But there's always a winner on the other side. And people forget about that. So let's go to the Mets-Marlins game and why this was a treat outside of your fandom of the New York Metropolitans, why this was a treat for you.
It was a treat for me because I took the Mets in game at a bloated plus price. And for the first time, basically in franchise history, a ridiculous ending goes in the Mets' favor, basically, Tim. Again,
I don't know. The Grand Slam single was kind of
that was ridiculous. Again, the most ridiculous speed of all time on a baseball total was.
Well, the total was 7.5. Right?
Yeah, it ended up going under by a half because Ventura didn't make it over to around the bases.
Oh my gosh!
Just a total train wreck there. If you had that back in '99, but so for this one today, the Mets and the Marlins home opener at Citi Field, first time fans have been there in over 600 days. Mets go to the ninth inning down 2-1. Jeff McNeil in the non-controversial part of the ninth inning hits a home run with a pretty epic bat flip mixed in as well to tie things at 2. The Mets load the bases for Michael Conforto, who had really been struggling 0 for his last 9 going into that at bat. Gets to 2 strikes, does the little chicken wing with the right arm with the elbow pad in there. Ron Culpa, the home plate umpire, was about to punch him out, but mid-punch, I was like, no, that hit you, take your base. Mets win 3-2 because of it, and Don Mattingly was not happy afterwards, and neither was the Marlins Twitter account, as you saw on your screen there.
Yeah, once again, the tweet was okay. I also saw someone took a screen cap of the
game
stat
center,
cast, yeah. And it was clearly just
it's a clear strike.
Clear strike, just right
a clear
there.
Strike.
That's pretty tough. Pretty tough if you're a one of the 13 Marlins fans out there. If you had the Marlins to win that game, sure it was a nice. Let's look what that plus price was here at Circa plus 168.
Yeah,
is what it closed. So that would have been a nice one to bring home.
Yeah, that's
up 2-1 going. Now once again, it was 2-2. So you're going to the extra innings with man on second base. You never know what's going to happen, but. That's a rough one.
And it was also one out, and Alonzo was up next. So, I mean, you still could have gone out of that ninth inning a loser anyway if you had the Marlins.
Also, if you're an A's fan, you lost again.
It's rough.
That's been a beat. And Irvin gave up, four runs?
Four and a third.
Yeah. Starting pitching has been just an epic disaster.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for Kenley Jansen doing Kenley Jansen things yesterday, you're looking at an 0-8 start to the season, which last time I checked him, not good if you start the season 0-8.
No, not ideal whatsoever. We'll get you updated on the Masters most recent odds as we head into the second round tomorrow down in Augusta, Georgia. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. It's Masters Week, and no one has better golf betting coverage than VSiN. Subscribers have all access to our full Masters coverage on VSiN.com with current odds, analysis on key golfers, and picks from our experts. Expect a write-up, Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds, for tomorrow, looking ahead to the weekend slate and some second-round matchups. It's the first major of the year, and our golf team is already in mid-season form, so you make sure you start your VSiN free trial today to keep up with all the action, including daily emails on betting options for each round, 24/7 video coverage, full access to our coverage on VSiN.com, and picks from every one of our experts. Sign up now, VSiN.com/subscribe. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you. Clippers pulling away here in the fourth quarter, leading 105-92. So not only are they going to cover the second half number, Jeff, they're going to cover the pre-flop number. Does seem like the under. Pretty safe to say that one going to come home. You're at 197 right now. This thing went off 220 and a half here at Circa.
Yeah, it should be good unless if you get some late game chicanery.
Yeah.
But it should be all right there. But the Patrick Beverley flagrant 2 actually spurring the Clippers
apparently
on here. So look, when you can give Nicholas Batum the big minutes down the stretch, you got to do it, right? But in the end here, again, just as much as we talked about it earlier too, Tim, as much as we wanted to hop in on Phoenix getting 6 points in this game, it was just a bad spot for him coming off that emotional overtime win against Utah. So
embrace the stink, man.
Yeah, exactly. Embrace the stink. And And as of right now, Clippers covering by 5 points with 3 minutes to go.
Should have known better. Should have rolled with the Clippers. You think about it. You're like, wait, the Suns just beat the Jazz, and they're getting 6 points against the Clippers? That doesn't seem to make sense. Clippers are going to win by double digits. Let's get back to the Masters. And we talked to Wes Reynolds earlier in the show about Justin Rose. And I'm going to go ahead and fire on Justin Rose against Justin Rose in a matchup tomorrow against Tyrrell Hatton. Hatton here at Circa, minus 115. Rose is minus 105. So Rose, a slight favorite Hatton, I beg your pardon, a slight favorite in that matchup against Rose. Rose was just unbelievable today. You know, 7 under, as you mentioned, you know, one of the best stretches of golf. Just ridiculous. Went 9 under through 10 holes. And Hatton got off to a really slow start. Finished pretty strong. He's, you know, at 1 under. So you have Hatton laying 115. I'm going to fire away on that. But just looking at Circa, because that's what we have. And, you know, we'll show DraftKings odds. You know, there's going to be varying. But looking at the adjusted odds to win, there's been a slight tweak here. It opened Justin Rose plus 330 at Circa. It has now moved to plus 340. Looks like some money has come in on Hideki Matsuyama. So Matsuyama has dropped from 1350 to 1300. Patrick Reed has remained at plus 1350. John Rahm has actually drifted a little back from 1225 to 1250. DJ remains at plus 2200. JT, Justin Thomas, getting a little backing as he is from 15 to 1 to 14 to 1. Nothing crazy, but just a couple up moves in the marketplace. And Webb Simpson opened 15 to 1 at Circa, has shifted back to 16 to 1 now. In the updated futures board.
Yeah, a little bit surprised that Simpson is backtracked a little bit, actually.
A lot of people, I mean, Wes was very high on Webb. Yeah, he was very high on Webb.
Yeah, there was a 20 to 1 at BetMGM out here as well on Webb Simpson. I actually grabbed a little piece as Wes was talking about it. So, but look, it's one of those where, again, only 4 guys have gone wire to wire.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Rose, as Wes said, we don't have the official strokes gained putting stats yet, but Justin Rose putted his behind off today, and those numbers are going to regress. It's just the way that it goes, and that's the same concern I have with Matsuyama. And also too, Matsuyama's one of those guys who it just feels like something goes wrong in the middle of a tournament where he just doesn't win because of whatever happened that went wrong, and even if it was just a 4-hole stretch at some point. So Webb Simpson at 16 to 1 here at Circa, that would be the play I would take right now.
So taking a look at tee times tomorrow, Justin Rose and Hatton, that's a matchup, as is Lowry and Rose are in the same group. They're going to be one of the first groups to go off tomorrow. They have the early tee time, 9:36 Eastern time, as you have it right there. You were talking about it. It is a bit more advantageous to be out early. So, you know, you could see Justin Rose have another strong performance tomorrow. Maybe not 7 under type, but him being out there early tomorrow, I think, is ideal for him.
Yes.
As opposed to, as you talked about earlier in the show, he was out there in the afternoon, and unlike a lot of the other folks, he was crushing it being out there early.
Well, that's what made this round so absurd, and that's why, again, it's hard to say one of the best 10-hole stretches in Masters history, because we know the illustrious history of the tournament, but it was that good from Justin Rose.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a point in the afternoon where he was legitimately the only under par round on the golf course for the second wave of players teeing off earlier today. So, look, if you're looking at the top of the board, Jason Kokrak, also a morning tee off tomorrow, went 1 under today. You can get 55 to 1 on Kokrak here at Circa. I wouldn't suggest doing that, but if you're looking at an angle where, hey, these numbers are probably going to be better in the morning because the weather will get worse as it goes along tomorrow, Kokrak is the other guy that I would look at. Also, even though it's not going to affect the result, Tim, Marcus Morris Sr. just got tossed as well.
Man, the Clippers Sun game. Clippers are a little grumpy for winning this game. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, another technical, and now I have to I hope I didn't mush anyone. We're now at
210.
You're still fine. Speaking of tee times, just kind of going back to the graphic we showed there, your guy Webb Simpson does have an afternoon tee time tomorrow, 124. Patrick Reed, certainly some people high on him. I know JVT talked about a ticket he has on him. 2-under today. He's got a 2 p.m. tee time tomorrow. And Hideki Matsuyama also at 1 p.m. You know, Jordan Spieth, who is second in the odds right now, had that triple bogey today, but still was able to bounce back at a big eagle on 15, I believe it was. He's got an early morning tee time, too, as you see, 10:54. Not as early as, you know, as Rose or as Lowry or Hatton, but looking at the timing, ideal for Spieth to maybe make a little bit of a run.
100%. And also, too, them watching today, Jordan Spieth has just turned into the right-handed Phil Mickelson. That's essentially what he is now.
He smoked it right off the tree. I mean, it was unbelievable. Looked like me out there. It was not what you want to see on a guy that you maybe have some bets on, like I do. It is the nightcap. We will wrap things up. Look ahead to tomorrow's NBA slate next. Hiring, there's no luxury of time. So instead of waiting for people to see your sponsored post, invite them to apply. More at Indeed.com/credit. Wrapping things up, it is the nightcap here on VSiN. Jeff Parles, Tim Murray with you, and our final game of the night has concluded. So nice way to tie things up with a nice bow. The Clippers beat the Phoenix Suns 113-103. So we talked about at the half as the Clippers trailed by three. They were laying five in the second half. Obviously cover that number, Jeff. Cover the out full game number. The under does come home in this one as well. 216 is where it lands. And here at Circa, it was 220.5. So the Clippers, a nice win tonight over the Phoenix Suns. Kind of as we discussed pregame, thinking has a lot of points to be laying against the Phoenix Suns, but sometimes when it's too good to be true, it is, and that's what happened.
100%, and again, Phoenix stayed in for a good chunk of this game. And
let it half,
and really, Tim, Patrick Beverley's flagrant two, working to inspire his own team, and that's when the big run came at the end of the game for the Clippers to cover. You were one Luke Kennard made three away from a potential catastrophe on the total, though, but it does go under.
Yeah, it was got a little nerve-wracking there at the end, but ultimately it does go under the total. Just a quick check on the props. Paul George finishes with 33, well over his point total tonight, 22.5. And Kawhi Leonard gets there as well. He finishes with 27 points. As for Devin Booker, he goes under his 26.5 as he finishes with 24. Chris Paul, well under 16.5, sitting there with 13. And then the Blazers, this game was ended up, didn't feel like it was going to be, was a rocking chair because the Jazz outscored the Blazers by 21 in the third quarter, en route to a 19-point victory. And Damian Lillard, he goes under his point total of 26.5 with 23. But with Donovan Mitchell, man, 37 points tonight. And the crazy part about the 37 that Donovan Mitchell dropped tonight, Jeff, he went 1 of 8 from three. So he had 37 and was 12% from three. Not bad.
You know, that's honestly more terrifying for the league if Mitchell's going to go that crazy with 37 when he's not making threes. 8 of 8 from the line, good job. And the funny thing, Tim, even with that 1 of 8 from three, he was really efficient tonight. He's 14 of 25 from the field, which on two-pointers, that's a nice 13 of 17 for Donovan Mitchell tonight.
So we're going to look ahead to the NBA slate here in just a moment. But you've mentioned a couple times in the breaks, and I've been meaning to bring it up. So we've got, we've got a couple of opening days tomorrow. The Dodgers opening day tomorrow. Walker Buehler will be on the hill. They're a massive favorite against my Washington Nationals. I don't really want much to do with the Nats in this spot with Joe Ross on the hill. Joe Ross opted out last year, but he has earned a spot in the rotation. But what has been your mindset so far betting this Major League Baseball season? And as you've said it, probably going to carry over for most part of the season.
Yeah, I have been, if I like a game under, I'm betting first five, not full game. And we've seen it
100%.
We've seen it a bunch, and especially last year with the introduction of the ridiculous put the guy on second without doing anything rule in extra innings. Again, you can't really handicap for extra innings because it's a small percentage of games that gets there. But we have seen over the last year and a half now, it's been game gets extra innings. The Yankee-Oriole game yesterday was an exception to the rule of the game actually staying under a total once it goes to extra innings. But if I like something under, I'm betting first five under, because more times than not with me, and look, this should be the way that you're handicapping a baseball is, you bet an under because you like the starting pitchers.
Right.
And so far, we have seen countless times of games I bet first five under have gone over in the game. So, I mean, including take the Mets again, the Mets and the Phillies, the first two games in that series, first five under into the Grom start, game went over. Second day with Stroman, game went under first five, game went over full game. So, there are plenty of teams that you're going to have to pinpoint as, hey, they're first five under because they have good starters and a terrible bullpen, which there are a lot of those this year, Tim.
Yeah, and no, you're absolutely right. Looking at the board tomorrow, a lot of 8.5s. Nothing too astronomical. Corey Kluber on the hill for the Yankees tomorrow against Rich Hill for Tampa down in Tampa. You're looking at 8.5, a juiced 8.5 to the over here at Circa, but flat 8.5s at South Point and Westgate. Walker Buehler on the hill for the Dodgers against a bit of a banged-up Nats lineup, maybe something I look at there. And then Charlie Morton on the hill for the Braves against Zach Wheeler for Philadelphia.
Yeah, if they're gonna dish a 4.5 first half first five under, that would be the one I would take. But it's mostly 8.5 juice. Actually, juice through the under.
Yeah,
I was looking at the one above, which was Plesac and Teron, which. Is 8.5 juice to the over.
There's right an now. Offshore shop that's even dropped to 8 for Philadelphia.
That's going
to
be a 4. That's going to be a 4. That's, again, I probably will end up taking that under. but it gets a little bit tougher once you eliminate the hook there. The Yankee-Tampa game is interesting also because Corey Kluber looked pretty sharp in his first start for the Yankees coming off the injury that he had with Texas a year ago. And Rich Hill looked horrible in his first start. The velocity was way down for Rich Hill. Again, he didn't give up a ton of runs because he was facing Miami, and their offense, for whatever reason, has been bad so far. But I would be inclined to look, if that price stays in that minus 130 pocket, minus 135 pocket on Kluber, that seems pretty good to me.
Switching to the NBA tomorrow, scanning down Philadelphia, New Orleans certainly seems a bit intriguing. Your late night affair, which we'll be keeping tabs on. There's two of them. Washington at Golden State. Russell Westbrook probably will have another triple double and a loss. 6 of his last 7 games, he's had a triple double. You should see, the DraftKings props on. Will Russell Westbrook get a triple double? It's got to be in the -$2 range now.
Yeah, talk about just ruining a stat that meant so much for so long. Russell Westbrook legitimately won an MVP because he averaged a triple double.
Yep.
And now we're talking about a Wizards team that, again, I know they've Beal has dealt with injuries all year.
He's back.
But that Wizards team should not be as bad as they are.
I tell you what. If you're looking for entertainment on a Friday night, and if you're back on the East Coast. Having a nightcap, listening to the nightcap, hopefully. There are worse things in the world to watch the Wizards and the Warriors. There's going to be a lot of points, judging by the total, which has been bet up to 241 at the Westgate. It is going to be no defense, all up and down, especially if Steph plays, which I believe he will. Bradley Beal is back. Hey, man, Golden State laying 4.5 against the Wizards. We'll be here, so we can't really avoid it, but it'll entertain me.
I sure would not bet the under in this game,
no.
Even at that ridiculously high total. That's for sure, Tim.
But sometimes they're, once again, they're high for a reason. So we will see. And then the other late night affair is Houston at the Clippers. So,
oh boy.
You know, I feel like for the most part, the Clippers, I forget the number, and I haven't updated it in a little bit, but it was, they were really trending in a positive direction after back-to-backs. They were 9-8-0 or something like that. This has the feel of a game. You just beat the Phoenix Suns. Houston's a disaster. Kawhi's not going to play. Paul George is not going to play. I mean, this is the classic game. Why are we playing any of these guys? Let Patrick Beverley, let Luke Kennard do the business. Let's sit our guys. You know, last year they ran into issues where they, and this is with my criticism of the Clippers all of last year, which was they pretended like they had earned something when they hadn't earned anything outside of Kawhi Leonard. Now, they haven't had that same mentality this year. But if you're the Clippers and you just beat the Suns, and, you know, there was a couple, some hot-headedness in that game, as we saw with Morris getting tossed and Beverly getting tossed, sit some of your guys. You're playing Houston.
You ready for a lot of Terrence Mann minutes tomorrow?
Sure, why not?
Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey, let's go. And by the way, it still won't matter if the Clippers sit their whole starting lineup. They're still winning that game tomorrow.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, they're still going to win. The Rockets are that big of a dumpster fire at this point.
Philadelphia is laying 7.5 on the road at New Orleans tomorrow. That'll be one to keep an eye on. That is the only number out there is DraftKings. So we'll see how that one is adjusted. Boston laying 8.5. I can't. I know they're playing Minnesota. I can't lay 8.5 with Boston.
No way.
I can't touch it.
No way. Hey, the Celtics have been such a massive disappointment. I know that's not a hot take at all. When you're one game
They're about to clinch their under season win total under very soon.
One game under 500 this deep in the season when you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on your team. And I know Brown missed a little bit of time with an injury, but it's been a disaster for them. Them being in the playoff, the 7, 8, 9, 10 play-in games, it just shows how disastrous the season has been so far.
You know, what would be fun, and I'm sure TV execs would absolutely love it, right now, your matchup in the play-in game would be Celtics-Knicks in Boston.
That would be a fun television one. And Tim, as we know, Knicks fans starved for anything positive at this point.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the play-in. You know, you've got 7 versus 8, loser then plays the winner of the 9 versus 10. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, right now, the Chicago Bulls, as the 10 seed, they would beat the Pacers, and then I wouldn't want to play them if I were the Knicks or the Celtics in a one-game situation.
That's a franchise revenge game against Tom Thibodeau for the Chicago Bulls, Tim.
The Tibbs revenge game. New York on the schedule tomorrow as well. They are getting 1.5 at the Garden against Memphis, Boston, we mentioned, and Chicago at Atlanta. They are, looks like, varying numbers. Looks like right around 3, Chicago getting against the Atlanta Hawks. All right, that's going to do it for tonight. Thanks to Wes Reynolds, Tony Miller, JVT. I'm going to go and play Hatton in a matchup against Justin Rose. Hopefully I'm happy tomorrow. For Jeff Parles, I'm Tim Murray. We'll talk to you tomorrow night right here on the Nightcap.